a cigarette with one match and two matches. The third match, the Germans have seen your light, and this one's going to bomb it. Never use the third match.
Oh, what about the glow on the end of the cigarette? That wasn't enough to attract the bombers. Okay, Rabbi, so we started learning yesterday Hilchos Chanukah, and we learned that Mitzvah Chanukah, this is the Gemara in Shabbos, Tav Chof Aleph Omet Beis. Yeah, Mitzvah Chanukah Ne Isha Beisoi, one lamp per household, one candle per household, irrespective of how many people there are, and irrespective of what day of Chanukah it is. Doesn't tell you anything. It just tells you that today is Chanukah because there's one candle burning in the window or by the door. Then the Mahadrim was Ne'er L'chol Echod Ve'echod. We asked a question yesterday. Is Ne'er L'chol Echod Ve'echod means that the Balabais lights one candle for each of the B'nai Bais, for each of the people in the household. So if there are 10 people in the household, then he would light 10 candles each night. And we asked, what does that include? Does that include babies? Does it include children? Does it include boys, girls, adults, or children? And the answer is, I don't know, but I've got a half an answer for you. The half an answer for you is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kof Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says there, Isha Vadai Madliko, a woman is mechuyev to light the menorah. Domer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Noshim Chayovas B'nei Chanukah. Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that women are Chayov B'nei Chanukah equally to men. She'af hein hoyu v'oysa ha'nes, because they were also part of the Nes. Zok Rashi. Rashi brings down that in af hein hoyu v'oysa ha'nes, which is a Chiyuv d'Rabbanon, but the whole of Chanukah is a Chiyuv d'Rabbanon, but in af hein hoyu v'oysa ha'nes, which is generally speaking a Chiyuv d'Rabbanon, there are two ways of looking at it when you say af hein hoyu v'oysa ha'nes. Either that they were suffering from the decrees like everybody else was, or they were suffering like in Mitzrayim, let's say, from the servitude, from the Avdus. They were suffering just like everybody else, and that's why they were part of the Nes, that they themselves were redeemed. Or you can also learn that it means Afin Hoyevois, and Nes means that they were part of the Yeshua, like for instance, let's say Purim, when you've got Mordechai, but you've got Esther as well. Bibal Esther was part of the Yeshua, therefore she's regarded as Afin, it's an Afin Hoyevois Hanes. So Rashi brings down both things here. Rashi says, Afin Hoyevois Hanes, she goes to Yuvonim al Kolbusulus Hanusuis, they boil the Tafset Chila. That they made a decree that any girl who was going to get married had to spend a night with a Greek official first. Yeah, so therefore they too were involved in the Gezerah. There was a decree against the women as well, therefore Afin Hoyevois on that side. And on the other side, that they were part of the Yeshua, there is the story of Yehudis, who was either the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, or was the daughter of Matisyo Kohen Gadol, and Yehudis there was a story with her, and she killed a general, what's called a Greek general. Holofernes, that's right, yeah, according to some, I think most people say that was his name. Yeah, and she enticed him, and then she killed him, etc., etc. So you've got both sides of it, of the coin. So therefore, the Gemara is clear that because they were part of the decree, and because they were part of the actual Yeshua, therefore women are mechuyev in Ner Chanukah like men. Therefore, when you light Lechol B'nei Habayis, it's certain that you've got to include the women as well. So if you learn Mahadrin means that you light one candle per member of the household, it's going to be the males and the females. Is it only over bar mitzvahs or under bar mitzvah children as well? I do not know. Haven't found that out yet. So that will be in the next little bit to sort out.
Started at the Turaway Northwest London, Tuesday, Kof Zayin Cheshvan, 18th November. Dain Yeshua Posen Shlita, Hilchus Yerusha Part 2, Wills, Savoyas, and all Machloikas. This week's Torah is sponsored by families Klein and Mendelssohn, the Chutz Mechonoson of Eli Klein Nereyoah, and Leah Mendelssohn Shetichia. Chasta takes place on Thursday, Emyesa Shemi Hirot and Shemi Bais, Temon Bisrael, Lashem Bisalo, and Lunishmas, our founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben, Rabshim Mechol Tzvi Itzkevitz, Zechronoli Brachol.
Good morning. Last week we spoke about Yerusha Min HaTorah. What happens in the case of a person dies intestate, if a person dies without any will, without any tzavo. And today I'd like to speak about the different halachic options if a person doesn't want Yerusha Min HaTorah to be the default position that happens to their estate. The default option in England, if a person wishes to give over their estate, is to write a civil will where they explain who they want to be the executors of their estate, which is what Chazal would call an apotropos, who they want to be the beneficiaries of their estate, who they want to receive the money. An English will, at least used to begin, I don't know if they've changed the terminology, I bequeath to thee, which effectively says that when a person dies, they leave over from their estate certain things to pass to their sons, their daughters, their spouses. And the challenge with that is, the halacha says, that a person who says that he wants his daughter to yorish, to inherit, it doesn't work. Min HaTorah, when a person dies, at the time of Patira, whatever they own falls automatically to the Yerushim. The Yerushim can be sleeping. They don't have to do a kinyan. It's one of the only areas where property can transfer from one party to another party without any Maiser Kinyonim happening. Because the Torah transfers it automatically to the Yerushim, whoever the Yerushim are, Min HaTorah. Therefore, if a person writes an English will, Min HaStam, the Poskim say, we'll see an approach in a minute, but Min HaStam, the Poskim say, if a person writes a will that it should go to their sons and daughters and spouse, etc., wife, then it won't work, because Min HaTorah, Yerusha passes automatically. Rapadva, Zitzal, was Mechadish, it's not Mamish his Chiddish, but it's blamed on him. Rabada was Mechadish, a concept based on the halach in Shulchan Aruch. There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that discusses something called Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMes. A Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMes is a terminology which is thrown around in a far wider area than halach actually uses it. Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMes does not necessarily mean anytime someone says something and then dies in the next 10 years, you have to listen to it because Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMes. Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei HaMes in Shulchan Aruch is very specific. It applies in a case where a person, let's say, takes an item, physically takes an item, and hands it over to a third party, and he says to this third party, I want you to take this, and achamisosi, after I die, I want you to give it to Reuven. So a person's got an expensive watch, and he hands it over to a friend of his, and he says, achamisa, give this to my chavrusa, he was always on time. So, Min HaTorah, the way we paskin, as we stay in Shulchan Aruch, is that when he's nifta, automatically the watch, together with all his other assets, will still pass to his Yerushim. But there's a mitzvah lekayim divrei HaMes, which says that the sholish, the third party who's been handed this item, has a mitzvah to listen to the dying words of the person, the owner, and give it to the beneficiary. And the bonim, the yerushim, also have a mitzvah to make sure that happens or to allow that to happen. Just to be crystal clear, if the bonim would get hold of that watch and go against their father's wishes and sell it, then the sale will go through. Because the halach in Shulchan Aruch at least is the mitzvah lekayim divrei HaMes is not a kinyan. It doesn't make it belong to the beneficiary. There's a mitzvah to give it to the beneficiary. Comes along with Padva and he says, when a person makes an English will, as we said, he appoints an executor. That executor has legal powers over the whole estate when a person dies. To such an extent that, for example, if a person owns properties which are rented out, and there's need to sign a new lease, it's the executor who will sign that lease until probate's done. He is the person in charge of the estate. Says Rapadva, so therefore if a person writes an English will, and in the will he names an executor, and that executor has legal powers. And he's stating in the will, when I die, I want my estate to be divided between my sons or daughters or to go to my wife or whatever he writes in that will. Then effectively, it's as if he's physically picked up his whole estate and put it into the hands of the executor with specific instructions, when I die, this is what you should do. And therefore, he's ticked the relevant boxes required for the halacha of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. And therefore, if the executor goes ahead and gives out the assets to the named beneficiaries in the will, he's not Ivan Geneva, because there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, and it's no different than the example which we said before with the watch. Well, those who argue in the Padra, which there are many, of Shlomo Zalman Oibach and many others, argue for a number of different reasons. But let's start with the first understanding. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames in Shulchan Aruch is you pick up something and you hand it over to a third party. Here we're coming along and we're saying nothing has actually been physically handed over to a third party. But the fact that the executor has got a legal power over the estate is as if it's been given to a third party. That itself is a chiddush which one doesn't necessarily have to agree with. But the bigger problem is that it's ma'aseh b'chol yom, that when people write a will, they may write a will and name executor number one without necessarily telling him he's been named as an executor, without necessarily telling him he's been named as an executor, and 10 years later they write a new will and they name executor number two. Executor number one might not be alive anymore, etc. And basically, who is the actual legal executor? Whoever is the named executor on the last will, so to speak, when the music stops, right? When everything stops and this is the last will and he's named an executor, then and only then does he actually become the legal executor.
The first one is still alive also?
Doesn't make a difference, because it's whoever's on the named executor on the last will. And this is
law
and this is Maisa Becholium. So therefore, to say that you don't have to physically hand over an estate to the Sholish, it's enough to give him legal powers, but everyone agrees in Shulchan Aruch that you have to do it Mechaim. You can't hand over to Sholish Achamisa, because Achamisa is not yours to hand over, it passes automatically. So the challenge with this Mahalach is, if the executor only becomes the actual executor, Achamisa, it's too late. As long as this person's alive, the executor is not an executor. He's someone who is named that he might be the executor if he is the last named executor on the last will. And therefore, to say that's as if you physically picked it up and handed it over to him is a bechiddush. And many poskim argue with this approach. Now, to be crystal clear, if a person writes an English will, civil will, and he doesn't write a tzavah, which we'll come on to in a minute, and all the Yerushim are happy to follow the will, then fine, you have a shitta to rely on, you've got mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, you've got a padra, and you might be pushing it, saying Shalom al Yisrael, as we'll see. There is another mahalach called Shtar Chatzi Zocher, which we're going to get onto in a minute. But I first want to just preface that by quoting something which I often hear. I often hear people say, I was happy to rely on Rapadva with Arachayim Shailas and with Yerideh Shailas, so I'm happy to rely on him when it comes to Chesh Mishva Shailas. That would be fine if not for the fact that Chesh Mishva is unique when it comes to the Talad Chelki Shulchan Aruch. From the point of view that in Arachayim, a person who is Tzadi can follow the Mechaber, a person who's Ashkenazi can follow the Ramo, and whichever other poskim people follow. And everyone has a mahalach through Shulchan Aruch Neisakeim, who we follow, who our minig is. When it comes to Chesh Mishvot, which is monetary disputes, then the halacha is, Hamaytzi Mechaveri Olav Arai. If I want to take money away from somebody else, I have to prove that my case is stronger than his, that I can take it away. Which means, ironically, you could have a person who is of Svadi origin, who's holding on to money, And you have another person who's of Ashkenazi origin, who's claiming that money. And the person who's holding on to the money can say, prove to me that Allah is not like the Ramah, who says I'm allowed to keep this money, or who says I'm not chayiv. And the person claiming the money, who normally in rest of Shulchan Aruch follows the Ramah, will say, no, I'm saying like the Mechaber, that you're chayiv to me, and you follow the Mechaber in every other area of Shulchan Aruch. If you live in a town where there's only Minig Sfadi or Minig Ashkenaz, then there's a question whether you can say Kimli like the other. But most of Klal Yisrael around the world nowadays do not. Rav Avad Yosef wanted to say that in Yerushalayim you can't say Kimli against the Mechaber, but I think most people would hold that Yerushalayim is quite multicultural nowadays, Baruch Hashem. So, Be'etzem, if the Bonim, if the sons would be Muchsuk in the assets, if they would be holding the assets, let's say it's a chifetz, and they're holding it in their hand. And now there's a question whether they're mechuyev to give an equal chelik to their sisters or not. They would be able to say, Kimli, prove to me that Allah is not like those poskim Rishlim, Zalman Oyebach, and many others who argue with the Padva and say an English will doesn't work, and therefore as the Bonim, we are the sole Yershim. So it's a bit naive to say, I'm happy just to rely on the Padva. Not because Hashem is anything wrong with the Padva, is entitled to his Psak, but when it comes to Momonos, potentially there's a situation where if the Yershim are Muchzuk, that can come back to bite. What is the halachic option? There are two options available in halacha. The first option is, even though we said that a person cannot determine what happens after they die by just saying, my wife should yarshin or my daughter should yarshin, because after they die it's not theirs to say what should happen. But as long as a person's alive, they own their assets 100%. And with the exception of a wife, who we mentioned in the last week's shiur, who can't give away things without her husband's approval. But if a person in their lifetime chooses to gift items to their wife or to their daughters, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. So, there is one mahalach in the poskim where a person writes a matona, which is chal shor achas kodem misasi. It takes effect a minute before I die, with the relevant kinyonim, where a person is transferring assets to his daughters, assets to his sons, assets to his wife. And that way he's not relying on Hilchos Yerusha at all. It's got nothing to do with the will. It's got nothing to do with probate. It's a gift that he's given in his lifetime. Now, they'll have to be the right kinyonim. We'll come to that in a second. But now in English law, they might say a gift which is given within a certain amount of times before a person dies, they look at it as Yerusha. But in halacha, we don't look at it as Yerusha. A person can give a kinyon a minute before he dies. We've got a whole sugi in Shas of Matna Shchimira, where Chazal went over and above to enable a person to give away gifts before he died, because they were worried that a person's stress before they die, that it might not go to the people he wants, could cause from
Bikur Nefesh.
Now,
there's a problem with this.
I'm coming to the problem. Now, one of the challenges with this approach is if a person were to write a shtar, which is a matona mechaim, then he can only do kinyonim on assets which he owns at that time. And if he were to sell his house and buy another house, or stum acquire other assets, the kinyon in which he did wouldn't help on those assets which he owns at the time, which he didn't yet own at the time, because you can't do a kinyon on a dovash loyba loylom. You can't be mapping something which you don't actually own. So therefore, that's one limitation. If your gwari is that I don't want to give it away necessarily now because I may choose to change my mind, right, which could be another worry, that can be taken care of in the shtar. I can say, unless I cancel this shtar between now and then. But there's another mahalach which the post can use. Sometimes they use a combination of them both. And that is a shtar chatzi zocher. Now, just to give the background of shtar chatzi zocher, the reason it's called shtar chatzi zocher is because in the evolution over time of people's approach to what daughters should be entitled to receive, historically, daughters got nothing. When Klal Yisrael divided the assets in Eretz Yisrael, the sons, Yarshim, Chalokim in Eretz Yisrael, the daughters didn't, unless they didn't have any brothers, as we said last week from Bnei Salavchad. Over time, it got to a stage where Klal Yisrael wanted to give to daughters at least half what their brothers received. So that was done in the form of this shtar, which we're about to explain. And actually it was given as a nadan. When a person got married, then the son-in-law, the daughter, was given this shtar, in which a person obliged himself to give the daughters half of what their brothers would receive. Nowadays, it's evolved even further, and most poskim say that one can give daughters and sons equally, as long as one leaves something to pass al pirusha deiraisa. So a person has to leave an amount. Each amount, the shayla is how much, it's not necessarily a large amount, that passes al pirusha deiraisa to whoever the yorshim are, a person's husband, a person's sons, if there's a bechor, he gets bishnaim, etc. And the rest he can give out as he wishes in a shtar chatzizach. What is a shtar chatzizach? Whilst we mentioned that it's impossible to do a kinyan on a davar shloi b'leilam, I can't transfer ownership of something I don't yet own, but I can oblige myself to pay money that I may not even yet have, which is a good job, because anyone who stood under a chuppah has done that to their spouse. Right? When a man gives a ksuba to his wife, that he says he's mechayev to support her, etc., with assets, most people, when they stand under the chuppah, don't have those assets at that time. So therefore, a person can be mechayev himself to give money. He can make himself chayev that he owes money. He can create a debt with the relevant kinyonim that are then in place. So what shtar chatzizacha is, it works as a belt and braces to enforce what a person wants to do in the English will. Let's take a simple case. Imagine a person has two sons and two daughters, and he has an estate of £1 million. Let's say he doesn't have a wife, keep it simple. And there's no bechor. So a person would take £1,000 as a moshel and leave that to pass al pi yirusha deiraisa. Let's say he's got £1,000,000, right? Leave that to pass al pi yirusha deiraisa. Now, in his will, he'll say he wants his £1,000,000 to be divided equally between his four children, that each get £250,000. In the shtar chatzizacha, he writes that he is mechayev himself to pay, for argument's sake, £275,000 or £300,000 to each of his two daughters. But that his chayvus is bottle if, when he dies, his yoshim honor the will. So effectively, if they honor the will, then in any case the daughters get 250, as do the brothers. If they don't, the sons, if they don't honor the will, if they want to go those shitters that say English will doesn't work, then the hischaivus will kick in, and actually they'll have to pay the daughters in any case because of the hischaivus. Now, if you're wondering why do you make the amount of money more than £250,000, that's because the same problem we mentioned earlier, we don't want to have to keep writing a new will every few years. And there'll hopefully be capital gains from when a person writes a will until it's actually given out. So we'll increase it more than what it is. We won't go crazy, but we'll increase it more than what it is, a certain fair amount, and say, this is chayvus is there. But if you honor the will, it's bottle mevutel. And that way we manage to enforce the will al pi halacha according to all poskim. Now, technically speaking, that shtar chatzizacha should be signed after the will has been signed. The reason for that is because it would be an interesting shaila. What would happen if a person signs the shtar chatzizacha and doesn't get round to signing the will? So the shtar chatzizacha says, I'm a chayev of £300,000 each girl, unless you honour the will. But there is no will to honour. So in such a case, then you're chayev the £300,000, which would be a larger amount potentially than what they should really be getting. So it's really meant to be there only as a belt and braces to support the will. Now let's discuss some challenges, some limitations with what we're proposing here. First of all, let's go back to Rupadva. Right? Like we said, we're not trying to make problems here. If a person, if all the Yerushim are happy to follow the will, no problem at all.
Why don't you just bring it up to them in time? That
was the first option. That was the first option. Matzolik Shachas Kodim Yisasi. The challenge with that is any assets he gets after that, it won't work on. Mashenkin, if you're mechayev, you're mechayev an amount of money. So it doesn't matter if I sell this house, buy another house, etc. Because it's not an asset, it's mine.
You say if If the Yorshim are makabel the will, that's okay.
Yeah, if the Yorshim are happy to follow the will, then they can learn a part about that. If they're all happy to follow a part.
I'm asking is, does that mean they're following the will, or does that mean that the sons have been Yorish, but they've given the matonah to their sisters?
Excellent Shaila. I asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I think I mentioned this 7 years ago, those of you who remember fresh. I asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky just briefly, because in Aleinu Shabeach, his brother-in-law quotes a psak from Chaim Kanievsky that if a person finds an aveda after the owner's been meyayish, then even though in Shulchan Aruch you're allowed to keep it, right, as we all know from Eilim Metzias, but be'etzem there's a yosha atoiv to give it to the owner if you know who the owner is. So if you find something with a simon in the middle of Heathrow Airport and you can assume that person's dropped his wallet and he knows that he's dropped it because other mashish mekisev chol shah, and he's been meyayish, he's not going to get it back, and you find it, and you find it in Mr. Cohen with his number, then be'etzem you should be able to keep it, but there's a yifnim mishur satin to give it back. So Chaim paskins that heyoyis it's hefka, and you've been kainu it, so even though you're choosing to do something nice to give it back, you should first take stocker, you should take meister from the money. So you find a wallet with £100, right, take £10, give it to the stocker, give him back the wallet with £90, right? And because Betzim, you're not mechuyev to give it back, it really belongs to you, so you're doing a ma'ir. Okay, that itself one could discuss whether it's so poshut, but based on that, Shaida, I wrote to Chaim, if that's the case, let me ask you, what about a case that we mentioned before, the English will, where there's only an English will, and there's £1 million estate? Al pi Yusha Deiraisa, exactly as Yankee said, really £500,000 falls to each son. And they're each gifting 250 to their sisters because Mitzvah Lekayim Devar Mes. So do we say that the sons have to first take off Maisa of the 500,000 that they each get, take off 50,000, and then give the daughters, and the daughters will have to take off Maisa again from what they receive. Again, assuming they take Maisa. That was a Shaila asked, which Lo Shamanu V'Lo Ra'inu, no one ever has done such a thing. So Chaim wrote back that because there's mitzvah l'kayim de rames, makes a kinyan. So I wrote back, but in Shulchan Aruch we paskin not like that. In Shulchan Aruch we paskin clearly, as we mentioned before, that if a person were to go against the mitzvah l'kayim, if the Yerushim were to take it and sell it, then the sale's valid. Because mitzvah l'kayim de rames does not make a kinyan to the bonim. So therefore, al pi Shulchan Aruch, that should not be correct. So he wrote back, that's true, but because there is a shit in the Rishonim that says it does make a kinyan, even though Shulchan Aruch paskin is not like that, when it comes to Hilchot Stocker, which nowadays in any case, etc., Minig, etc., one can be so much on those shitters not to have to pay Maisa. Just an interesting maimah from a Godel. Akabonim, coming back to what we said, I just want to make a few points very clear. Klal Yisrael, speaking broadly, seems to have a tendency to enjoy having things in different people's names than who really own them, for various different reasons. And this can be extremely challenging when it comes to Hilchos Yerusha. It can be challenging when it comes to Hilchos Ribis, can be challenging when it comes to lots of different halachas. But if you think about what we've just said, if a person writes an English will, only, and the sons and everyone's happy to follow it, but if we're relying just on Rapadva, then the way how it works, by the way, there is a shit in the poskim to say that a will works because legally it works. But most poskim mamish don't go with that mark. If you go with this approach of a padah, so what happens if a person's nifta and he owns an asset which is not in his name and there's no documentation that it's his at all? The person who's holding it, he knows that it really belongs to this person. Reuven owns the asset, it's in Shimon's name. Shimon's the only person in the world that actually knows he's holding it for Reuven. Sons don't know, his wife doesn't know, no one knows. And now, Reuben writes an English will. Gets divided equally between his sons and daughters, or it goes all to his wife, whatever it is. If the only way that the will works is as mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, and mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames works because you've given legal powers to the executor, the executor only has legal powers over that which legally is his. Now, it doesn't have to be only what's in his name. If there would be a document that something is not in his name, but he's the beneficial owner, that would also be considered an asset of his. If there's no document whatsoever, then the executor would have no power to do anything over a property which legally doesn't belong to the deceased. In which case the question would arise, al pi halacha, would the will have any bearing on that property whatsoever? That's just horror number one. Horror number two, which is across the board, is it's extremely challenging when people are nifter with wills or tzavos, but they happen to be holding different assets in their name that belong to other people and assets of their own in other people's names. So for example, you have a situation where a person's got a company in one child's name, and the question is, Achamev asked him, did he mean that it should belong to that child? Well, let's say it's 50% his name, 50% the child's name. One child. I have all of his children. So now we have a shaila. Does that child own 50%? Or was it in that child's name because there were certain advantages in that child also being a shareholder or whatever it might be? And but really it's being held for the whole estate. And this happens fairly common, whether it's in properties or in companies, where things in different people's names without any clarity as to who owns what. I once gave a shin in abroad I'm speaking about the ribis problems with mortgages in such a situation. And someone came along afterwards to ask Akasha what's the halach in his situation. And he says that you know, he has a property and his children are in that property. And now he wants to give it to move it to other children because it's not big enough for the first children. And he wants to know, does he have a problem? I said, whose is it right now? Who owns it right now? And it took him close to 10 minutes to actually give an answer. He wasn't clear. Have I given it to the children or have I allowed them to live there, to divide it? But he wasn't clear. Now, if he's not clear, because it wasn't really relevant, he didn't have to stop to think about it. Achamev asked him, what's meant to happen? Who's meant to be clear? Who's meant to make that decision? And the challenge with that is that can create huge machlekas. Another area, it's brought down in halacha, it's actually learned from Yosef HaTzadik, Yaakov and Yosef. Alishana ben Abonim, a person should not differentiate between the children in a will. Now, sometimes a person's got one child who's in much more need of money than another child. First of all, here's a heads up. The child who doesn't need the money doesn't look at it any differently than the child who does. Right? Often the one who needs the money the least is the one who makes the biggest fuss and biggest machlekes. It's the principle. Right? So if a person wants to gift one child something because they need help, much better to do it mechaim, and in the will, or tzavah, leave everything the same. Leave everything equal. The moment there's something unique about a will, that it's the parents' last statement on their children. And if they differentiate in that last statement, it's as if they've written on their matseva, you are not as good a child as your sibling. And that's how it's taken. Whether that's intended or not intended, that's how it's taken. And it causes huge animosity. We had a case locally once where parents wanted to gift more to one child, to Ben Zakunim, because he was a really, really good child. He looked after them. And the others didn't do such a good job. And the rest of the family cut off all ties with Almona after the Shiva. Once they realized, they were completely breakless, which was a shame, because actually the will only took effect. He passed everything to her, and only when she dies, that's what was meant to happen. So really, it was self-fulfilling. But Etzem, a person has to understand. Again, if a person wants to make a statement with a will, you can make a very strong statement with a will, but it comes at a price. And often the person who pays that price might be the surviving spouse, potentially, with all the fallout that brings with it. So the reason for the title of the shiur was wills, tzavos, and or machlekas. The point is, you choose. Do you want and machlekas or all machlekas? Right? If a person doesn't write a will at all, then potentially there can be huge issues, as we discussed in the last year. Even if a person does write a will, you run the risk, if you're not careful and you put thought into what you want to do and how you want to do, and give another just example, we're running out of time, but just one example, you have a situation where a person's bought a property for his children one at a time as they move back, whatever it may be, but he says he's dividing his estate equally, and he dies in the middle when he hasn't yet managed to buy properties for all of them. And the children who haven't yet been bought properties turn around and say, but well, Amnit, you know, what's with us? Because you know that really a person's assets belongs to their children, right? Mechaim, right? That's the general approach. So again, a person has to put thought into how they do things, and Mitzvah Hashem, hope, Siyata Deshmaya, that shalom can prevail between all the children.
In the usual case where the husband gives everything to the wife, and then she gives...
Again, that, you have to leave something to pass up Yerusha Deraisa, but other than that, yes.
And so everything you've said applies equally to
yes,
her.
Yes, yes. Shkoy.
I'm giving you everything. I'm just administering the estate until I die. If I give it to you now, you're